The new Joker movie will go down in history as one of the biggest cinematic U-turns ever seen. From the original being an Oscar-winning outstanding masterpiece, to the sequel being one of the most boring, unnecessary, and hated movies of the year. There have been plenty of bad sequels throughout the years, but it takes a special kind of movie to actively punish people who liked the first movie. Despite how much people loved the first one, a sequel was a strange idea. Then as more details came out about the movie, it only got more confusing and more worrying. Barely anyone expected they would mess it up this badly though. Nearly every single thing that people liked about Joker has been taken out of its sequel. So let's dive in and find out how they screwed up the film this badly and where it all went so wrong. Now we've actually made a video in the past about the first Joker movie and how great it really was. It was full of societal meaning. It's not surprising that people were excited for the sequel when the first Joker film was so captivating. The original Joker touched the hearts and minds of millions of people around the world. But at first, people didn't really know what they were going to expect. It was going to be hard for anyone to follow Heath Ledger's Joker, a performance so chilling and sublime that it will be remembered for centuries to come. But Joaquin Phoenix's approach to the character and the gritty world that the film created won audiences over, becoming one of the best movies of the decade. It wasn't the same for the critics in Hollywood at large. At first, they had mixed opinions about the film. There were lots of talks about this creating an incel rebellion, that this film was just for loser young men, with many even fearing that this would lead to copycat crimes. But when absolutely nothing happened and they saw how much people really liked it, they were happy to pile on the awards, with Joker winning 2 Oscars later that year despite the lukewarm reception Hollywood gave it on release. While it might have been hard for critics to wrap their heads around it, the Joker explored themes that have become incredibly rare in modern movies. A large part of the film's appeal was how it portrayed mental illness. Lots of movies are something to say about the topic, but only a few depict it with the same raw honesty that Joker does. They often show it existing in its own little bubble, as though it's isolated from the rest of the world. There's usually one crazy character who's put at odds with the sane world around them. But Joker went much deeper than that, exploring the interplay between mental illness and a society which creates it. Few other films really show how alienation and a hostile world play on someone's psyche. Joker showed how someone can reach out for help, get abandoned by the people around them, and the horrific results that can come from this. It's incredibly important that society understands how this happens. Most media today either demonizes these people or doesn't acknowledge them at all. But Joker went a long way towards breaking through those one-dimensional perceptions. All of these themes were perfectly tied together by Joaquin Phoenix's performance. It was clear how hard he had worked to perfect it. A lot of this was thanks to his physical performance and the way he brought the character to life. His sudden movements, his pained laughter, and how thin he got for the role really sold it. And if he didn't bring the story to life, then the set design and the overall atmosphere really did. It made the film reminiscent of Taxi Driver in more ways than just the plot. Their portrayals of a grim, unforgiving city on the edge of chaos have only gotten more relevant as time has gone on. Joker was lightning in a bottle, tackling the issues with modern society that other films simply didn't acknowledge. It made it the second most profitable R-rated movie of all time, only getting dethroned this year. The story resonated with millions of people around the world. It was open-ended, with the film setting up various things that a sequel could explore. But it was mostly a self-contained story. As most people have mentioned by now, there really wasn't a need for a follow-up Joker film. And clearly this was meant to just be a standalone movie, without ever setting up some franchise or new world. The director even said later on that there was never a plan to turn it into a series.
I mean this as a compliment. I love this movie so much, I almost don't want there to be a second one, because I love how it ends, and it's just because, and then my mind just starts going, well, imagine where it's gonna go from here.
Right.
In your head, do you know where his story goes from here?
Well, I don't think we're gonna make a second one.
No.
I mean, that's just not in our
And I mean
plans.
That's a compliment.
No,
it's not that I don't want to.
I agree with you. I mean, I feel the same way.
But even with that being said, it wasn't all that surprising when Warner Bros. Announced they were more interested in a sequel. In fact, early reports implied that they'd be making an entire series of various origin stories. With Joker making so much money, with over $500 million in profits, along with huge cultural recognition, it was inevitable that the studio would be hungry for more, especially after all the failures of the recent DC movies. But artistically, it's a lot more debatable whether a sequel is really necessary at all. What would happen if you threw your vape out of a plane 40,000 feet in the air? Well, you might want to find out once you've tried Fume. Fume is an award-winning flavored air device that's paving the way for healthy alternatives. And just so we're clear, Fume is not a vape. There's no nicotine, no vapor, and it's completely non-addictive. Instead, Fume offers a guilt-free way to satisfy that urge to reach for something, without any of the downsides. Fume draws flavor to your mouth, not your lungs, using a passive diffusion system. If vapor is like sticky soda, Fume's flavored air is more like a refreshing herbal tea. With flavors like crisp mint and orange vanilla, it's the perfect way to fill the void when you're stepping away from a bad habit. The design is another highlight. Fume feels amazing in your hand with its weighted high-quality build. Plus, it's made to fidget with, featuring magnets and airflow dull and satisfying snaps and clicks that can help calm anxiety and keep your hands busy. And the best part? There's no batteries required, so you can use it anywhere, anytime without ever having to worry about smoke or vapor. And if you're curious, I really recommend the crisp mint flavor. It's my personal favorite. It's subtle, refreshing, and a great way to move away from old habits without feeling like you're missing out. This is why Fume has served over 300,000 customers, and you can be the next success story. For a limited time, use my code MOON to get your free topper, the perfect accessory to your Fume device. You slip it onto the mouthpiece for a softer, warmer feel. It's also chewable for those who love to fidget, and it's reusable. So head to tryfume.com, that's tryfume.com, and use code MOON or scan the QR code on screen to get your free Fume topper when you order your journey pack today. All the plot threads of the first film were tied up. The character of Arthur Fleck had made his descent into becoming the Joker. It sent the message that he wanted to send. With how removed the film was from the comics and the DC universe in general, it also seemed odd for a sequel to expand on that side of things. Of course, both Joaquin Phoenix and the director Todd Phillips needed to be on board for a sequel to happen. Joker had made both of them incredibly rich, so the promise of more money didn't seem like it would make the difference. In earlier interviews, Todd Phillips has said that he only wants to make a sequel if he found a way to, quote, create thematic resonance with the first film. It would obviously explore similar themes, but the question still remained of how to progress the story and the film's message. Joaquin Phoenix was also pretty cagey, saying that he also couldn't see how they could make an authentic sequel.
To even say that there's more to do.
I don't know that there is.
There is, but you're not closed-minded about it.
No, and it's, you know, I think Min Todd would still be shooting now if we could, right? Because it seemed endless.
Clearly though, they eventually landed on a plan, and we didn't hear anything about the sequel for 2 years, until it was later revealed that a sequel was still in the works in 2021. Then the details came later. In early 2020, the title was revealed, with it being a reference to a mental illness shared between two people. Of course, people immediately suspected that the film would include Harley Quinn, but it was still just speculation. With how focused on loneliness and isolation the first film was though, it did raise some eyebrows. People's uncertainty about the sequel only grew later in the year. In August, we got the first concrete details about the film other than the title. When it was revealed that Lady Gaga was central to the project, it was all but confirmed that the sequel would at least partially focus on Harley Quinn. But that news paled in comparison to the fact that it was also going to be a musical. The very act of performing had been central to the first film. A lot of its mass appeal can be pinned down to the famous dancing scene that dominated the internet for weeks afterwards. But the choice of making it a full-blown musical was still a very risky one. Considering the first film's audience and who it appealed to, it didn't seem like there would be that much overlap. Even all the way until the film's release, it didn't seem like Warner Bros. Or anyone else were entirely sure whether it was a musical either. It was clear that there were lots of songs and musical numbers, but they were still hedging their bets. Even in an interview just before the first screenings, Lady Gaga stated that it wasn't truly a musical.
That we approached music in this film was very special and extremely nuanced. I wouldn't necessarily say that this is actually a musical in a lot of ways. It's very different. The way that music is used is to really give the characters a way to express what they need to say.
The director also said it wasn't a musical, but that music and songs played an essential role. For fans of the first film, it seemed like a massive shift. For critics, it seemed like the film might not have a real sense of its own identity. People were still excited because of the first film, but a lot of signs also pointed to disappointment. One of them being that now they didn't have Martin Scorsese's Taxi Driver to rely on, the film could just start unraveling and lose its core meaning. There were a few different ways they could have gone with it. They could have tried to make a real sequel, continuing on with the themes and the story of the first movie. But as we already mentioned, Joker just didn't really leave that much room for this. It could have even gone further into the DC Universe side of things, expanding on other well-known characters and showing Joker's journey towards becoming a true villain. But the first film already showed how separate this universe was from all of that. There were actually rumors the first film wasn't even meant to be a DC Joker film until later on in its production. It makes sense, as the only thing that really ties it to Batman in general are a few throwaway scenes and the names of the characters. The other option was to completely detach from all of that and just make what amounts to an entirely different movie. It did seem like they were going in that direction with the choice to make it a musical, but even that was only a half measure. One of the main fears people had about the film was that it would hedge its bets, not really expanding on or progressing the story of the first film. but also not really doing anything new or interesting either, and it only got more likely when you look back at the director's track record. He also made The Hangover, which was so successful that it led to some unnecessary sequels that didn't really live up to the first movie. With all of that being said, the trailers they released put some people's minds to rest. They were smooth, giving just enough away about the film to interest people, but without spoiling it too much. They proved that if anything, the cinematography and the general look of the movie was still going to be good. Lady Gaga's prominent place in the marketing also made people think that she would play a giant role. On the other hand, the trailers didn't reach nearly as many people. The final trailer for the original film now sits at over 100 million views, but only around 30 million have seen the trailer to the sequel. It was already clear that the new Joker movie had to be exceptional to live up to the first movie, but things only got more uncertain when the first reviews started coming out. Unlike some films, critics got to see this weeks in advance of the general public, and they published their reviews before the film even came out. Just like the first movie, their initial opinions were divided, maybe even more than before. On the day before it was released, the Rotten Tomatoes score sat at a measly 45%, meaning over half of the critics weren't impressed. Some of them described it as listless and a chore to sit through. Others enjoyed some parts of it, like Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga's performances, but they were still frustrated with how the film didn't really have a reason to exist. Even the positive reviews acknowledged that it would split audiences. Of course, they didn't really know what was going on in the first movie either. Most of Hollywood only started praising it once they realized everybody else liked it. But as the release day came and went, it became clear to nearly everyone that the new Joker movie wasn't going to live up to people's expectations. The movie bombed hard, with user reviews falling to well under 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. The momentum that the first film had created vanished almost immediately, and there were a whole bunch of problems. Instead of continuing the story or the plot of the first movie, the new Joker tried to go back on nearly all of it. It was like they were trying to stick it to the fans for the first film. All the subtext about society and alienation and mental illness pretty much vanished. Instead, the Joker was reframed as a punching bag. It feels like direct retaliation to how people saw him in the first movie. This new Joker movie clearly wants nothing to do with the original film, which was defined by its tension and its sense of impending doom. In the sequel, as that's already happened, it struggles to know where to go next. It means the film spends most of its runtime going nowhere. If some critics found it boring, then audiences found it excruciatingly slow. The songs never even seemed to progress the plot or the characters. The only thing it did is seemingly slow it all down. Of course, there were some good parts. The intro sequence stands out, as well as the cinematography. But even as a musical, it still doesn't work. It's another example of the film taking a middle ground that doesn't satisfy anyone. Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn is underused and underwritten. They even took out some of the most important parts of the character's background. Instead of the Joker managing to indoctrinate a trained medical professional, she's just another patient at Arkham. It's another choice that only really serves to make this version of the Joker even more pathetic. There was a lot to justify. The film needed a reason to actually have been made, but it never finds a good one. Instead, the two real reasons it created slowly became clear. First, it clearly wants to sabotage the first film and its audience, either by twisting parts of the story it established, or by reframing its characters in different ways. Now, we won't go into the ending, but it's clearly been written to annoy people who liked the first one. Then, the elephant in the room, the money. We already knew that neither Todd Phillips or Joaquin Phoenix even wanted to make this movie. They knew it was a completed story, and had repeatedly said they wouldn't budge on a new film. But multi-million dollar payouts and a quadruple budget makes it all too tempting. For a modern Hollywood movie, Joker was made on a shoestring budget, and it overperformed massively because it was so resonant. Here, we've seen the exact opposite. A ton of money being wasted on a film that would drop off in days. It's almost ironic to see this happen to the Joker. Nobody cares how much a film costs. People care about quality and if a film is actually saying something. As a much more faithful adaptation of the Joker once said,
"It's not about money, it's about